Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialist, Phil and Blake, are back. And today we are starting our new series, Everything You Need to Know About. And we're going to be starting it off with Cerie Field, because that's what we should be doing. So to get ready for Survivor 50, we're going to be going through all 22 players that we know something about, because we don't know anything about Riz or about Savannah. So because we don't know anything about
them, I don't even know their names. What the hell, Phil?
So now we're going to be doing 22 episodes of this series. Blake is doing 7 with me. Will is doing 7 with me. Tegwith is doing 8 with me. That'll get us to all 22 of them. And we are starting off with Cerie Fields, because who else would you start off with? So this will be her 6th Survivor season because of AU versus the World, which I think is just incredible. And it's going to be fun to talk about her, because I know like other ones that Blake and I are doing are Joe and Jonathan. These people have played once. And, you know, what are you going to talk about maybe for 20 to 30 minutes about each of these people? When it comes to Cerie, hopefully we can fit it all in 20 to 30 minutes, because of late, she's essentially just been on everything. Won the Traitors, co-winner of Snake in the Grass, 5th place on Big Brother. We don't know her AU versus the World placement yet. And if you do know, don't spoil it.
Probably first. We'll just
probably
assume.
First. Yeah. And I thought what I think is most amazing though about Cerie, 3 of her 4 US seasons so far, she's played at least 36 days in 3 of her 4 seasons. That's pretty insane. When you think about what it takes to make it that far in a season over and over and over again, obviously her Heroes versus Villains run was cut short, but that's because Tom Westman idled her out of the game. She's been eliminated 4 times, never sat at a final tribal council, but never been voted out by the majority of her tribe. So Blake, as we get in and we start this series, and this is all about just getting you familiarized with everybody, in case you haven't watched these episodes in a long time or seen these people play. I mean, Cerie's got a laundry list to cover here. So where do you want to start?
It's interesting about that intro. You're doing, here's some of the math. Here's some of the statistics. Here's some of that stuff. And I don't think that's ever been what you would want. Not you, the understood you. Like, Cerie is all heart. Cerie is all... she is one of the best manipulators in the history of the show. She is somebody that if you have a plan, it better be with Cerie, because if it's against Cerie, it's going to get dismantled completely. I think there's the thought process of she's behind the most notorious elimination in the history of the game. She is part of some of the biggest alliances, or the Black Widow Brigade is also one of the best alliances in the game. It's the only time the women came together and let's do this and nailed it or whatever. One world. But I think there's a few other things you need to know about her. So let's just start at Exile Island. Of like Exile Island, I think she went on that show and she said, I'm gonna do my best and hope for the best. And I think there's something about Suri where it was, I'm really fun to be around. And I'm really putting in a full effort. And I think the enthusiasm of Suri and her heart really endears her to everybody on the beach. And she becomes a person where it's like, we're rooting for you, even though we're playing a game against you. And there was the whole thought process of get up off that couch. You could be like Suri. That was a main joke, meme, inspirational thing if you're more earnest in your life. But that was what Jeff Probst was saying all over the place when Exile Island was coming out. Or some like people like to say Survivor Panama. But she was put on a tribe. It's probably the most doom-fated tribe of all time. The older women, when that was not what people valued in Survivor. And they get absolutely blown up. Three people. Ruth Marie has a little bit longer. But Timber Tina goes first. And somebody else goes second.
Melinda. Come on.
Melinda. Poor Melinda. Well, this is Suri's episode. I didn't want to say everybody's name. And it's like, does Suri makes it all the way to the final four. And it's just through sheer, like, I am keeping this together. I think there's the idea of, like, I'm a mother, so this stuff doesn't bother me. I don't think that's ever said from Suri's viewpoint, but she has to manage Courtney. She has to manage Shane. She has to manage Eris. And Danielle, and they all hate each other, and Bruce is being weird over here too, and that doesn't matter for Suri. I think whenever she came back for Micronesia, she's one of the most desired all-star people ever. I don't think we can quantify for our audience what the excitement was for, oh my god, Suri is coming back. I hope they don't target her right away. And I think that's always the thing that's in the back of my mind that's really cool to see about Suri is there's no way she's going to do well on this season. And the only time she's actually got was because one of the best players in Survivor history uses an idol to get rid of her. Of Tom Westman has one of the best winning seasons ever. Tom Westman blows up his game to blow up Suri's game. And that is kind of like, that's not very heroic. But Suri has time and time again found a group to lead to victory, and people that are her allies benefit from that. Aris was one of her strongest allies. Aris wins. Parvati and Suri ran shit. Parvati wins. Can we say Sandra and nope?
No.
So not.
But you could season. Also say that, you know, who Suri aligns with in that season, Candace, early on, one of the more successful of the heroes. She aligns with Amanda. If JT doesn't give the idol to Russell, I mean, who knows what that hero's
right
tribe could have looked like.
And then what are we going to say about her Game Changers time? I think Game Changers, that was Suri's on this season too. Of that whole season, she's clearly one of like three to beat. Of like, she is the best player, she is the most biggest one with a thread, or what is it called, target on her back?
Yeah,
sorry, threat level. Yeah. I had a couple chips earlier. I shouldn't eat chips. Her threat level is insane. How does Suri make it all this way?
And Suri doesn't get a vote that whole season.
No, and it is kind of like I'm ushering in a new era by Michaela. You were on last season. Didn't seem like you were too successful. Let me help you out here. And then she outlasts Michaela, and you're like, how? And I'm going to say, I'm not. Sarah was on her Sarah liked Suri. Sarah wins the show. So if I'm on a reality show, I think I've been a little annoyed. Let's do a little bit of Big Brother. Big Brother, I was like, she is shown as a legend. They just did their first competition of Big Brother. They walk into the kitchen and Suri's there, and they say, hey, Suri's on your season two. She has immunity for the first week. And in my mind, it's ringing our alarm bells of like, how are you not voting out Suri as soon as possible? There's no way you're going to win unless you get rid of Suri out. And she lasts for 2.5 months of the grumpiest time of her life. It's so funny to watch of like, clearly Survivor is like hard and, but it's over quick compared to Big Brother. Big Brother, I think she was in the house for 90 some days. And it was just watching Suri be cranky was kind of funny. But once again, all the people that were aligned with her all make up the final five. And then she just can't win a challenge to make it happen. And I think that's the overlying theme of her is I'm one of the greatest strategists. I'm one of the greatest social. But boy, if there's a part called outplay. Outwit, outlast, outplay.
That is in there. Well, here's
yeah, outplay here's is physical in my mind, I guess, but it could be.
Here's going to that point with Suri, because a lot of people are like, well, if Suri can just get to the end, she can win. Well, how does Suri get to the end? She'd have to win an immunity somewhere later in the game, because in Game Changers, Suri went, McKenna put together a good cheat sheet for us here, but Suri went the longest without attending tribal council on Game Changers. She didn't actually go to a tribal council until the merge, which definitely helped her, right? But she is one of six returning players who's competed on at least three seasons without ever winning an individual immunity challenge. James Clement, Tina, Varner, who never even competed in one, Sandra, no surprise. And then the one that does surprise me, Sarah Lucina. Sarah Lucina never won an immunity challenge in any of her seasons of Survivor, which does really surprise me because she made it very deep. She made it to at least the merge portion in all three of her seasons. So Suri is one of six. She's never a threat to win challenges. And so that's what it always comes down to. And I think that's why she always goes out in weird ways, right? She goes out in a fire-making challenge in Panama. She goes out with just getting Amanda's vote in Micronesia. She goes out with 3 of 8 votes and an idol play in Heroes versus Villains. And she gets 0 votes the entire season of Game Changers, but gets 6th place. Because we get the idol train at that point. Hashtag idol train, by the way. And so she always goes out in a weird way, but there's this weird thing about Suri where you kind of know that you're always going to be able to get her. And that's going to be something she's going to have to overcome on this season. You always know, like if I'm playing Survivor, most people are like, Suri's got to go out early, right? I'm probably trying to align with Suri. Because I know the further I go with Suri, the better my winning chances are. Because Suri is always going to be a bigger shield for me. She's always going to be a bigger threat than me because of everybody knows she can win if she sits at the end and people kind of want her to win at this point. And I know that she can't win an immunity challenge over me. She's proven it time and time again that even if there's a puzzle involved, she can't do the physical portion to then get to the puzzle. The first time she played Survivor, she was 36 years old. She is now 54 years old. I mean, that's a big, big, big difference. And that you're talking
literally 36 is 18 times two.
Yeah, she's
aged now it's 18 times three.
Yeah, she's aged a third of her life. And if you think about it, the last time when she played on Game Changers, which was 2017, she's 46. 46 to 54 is a pretty big jump. So can Suri somehow overcome this, right? She's loaded. I mean, just to throw some stats out here, because you were talking about Ruth Marie earlier. Suri was the only remaining member of her original tribe for the longest time in Survivor history. There were 25 days between the last original person from her tribe being eliminated and when she got eliminated. That's how bad her starting tribe in Panama was. Ruth Marie goes on day 11. She then goes all the way to day 36. There was another one here that I really liked. She is the second castaway to be eliminated without ever getting a vote for the entire season. Pascal was first, and then Kara, Liz, and Camilla all followed that up. So we'll talk about Camilla in another podcast at some point. But I just think when it comes to Suri, and when I look at her, we're doing this podcast to kind of be like, hey, did you forget what Colby used to do when he won 5 immunity challenges and then he sucked at challenges in Heroes Villains? You forget what Jenna used to do, all that. But when you talk about Suri, nobody's forgetting Suri. Here's the best stat, I think, for Suri. She's played 121 days across 4 seasons, which is the most days of any returning player who has never made the final tribal council. and it's the most days of any returning player who has never been on Redemption Island or the Edge of Extinction at any point during their Survivor career. So the Edge of Extinction numbers really skew how far Parvati made it in her fourth season, right? Parvati had a great first three.
Screw Parvati.
Yeah, but it really skews it. Cerise played 121 days without it. Like I said, 36 days in three of her four seasons, probably is going 36 days in Heroes Villains if Tom Westman doesn't play an idol to get her out of the game. And if JT's not like, yeah, she is more dangerous than Colby. So I think that's big. Like, what we all know everything about Cerise. Everybody walking out there is going to look over and go, oh shit, it's Cerise. Now, how does Cerise overcome that? Can she overcome that? I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, I would never bet against Cerise. And I think that's what's crazy. Like, we haven't mentioned Traitors yet. Mm-hmm. Traitors is her winning game where she dominated everybody. I think it is a encapsulation of everything we just said of the challenges don't really matter in that game, except to maybe get your immunity if you need it. But you don't need the challenge to win. And spoilers, but if you're watching a Cerise thing and you haven't seen Traitors 1, I'd be like, kind of, what are you doing? But maybe you're trying to figure out some stuff. Cerise does extremely well on that season. And it's all because maybe people, it's not that they're underestimating her. They're going, I want to be on Cerise's team. But Cerise is on a team of one in that season. And it's the only time she can. And it's the only time where it all came together. I think that I originally thought that was going to be the end of Cerise's story. So I was watching that and so happy for Cerise. If she finally won, she gets to fade off into the whatever. And now she's played Big Brother. She's played it. She's going to be World versus USA. Mm-hmm. And now she's doing this. It's like, it was funny. Like, there's the thought process of booked and busy. Cerise is the most booked and busy reality start right now.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know if it's I don't really want to be doing my medical professional job for the rest of my 50s. Maybe if I can't be on TV.
Cerise's not doing a real job anymore. There's no way.
And so I think there's what am I expecting her to do on this season? Maybe that's a good avenue to talk about her for all these things. I'm expecting Cerise to her last time around, she did not go to tribal council before merge. Mm-hmm. Of like, she was on a strong ass tribe. That I think that's another layer that maybe we should say is like, she was a solid challenge competitor of like the like push another woman down and steal something from them was a lot of challenges in Exile Island and Micronesia. And Cerise is holding her weight. No pun intended, like beating people up.
Yeah.
And that was so cool to see with Kasaya. Some of the, like, we need Cerise to, like, to nail it. And she did when she was 54 minus 18, 36?
36.
Yeah. So it is okay. She does that again in Micronesia if she can go toe to toe with some of the fan women and beat them. And then Heroes versus Villains, they had the exact same challenge, but.
Win the first challenge. Yeah,
who goes home first? Sugar was a. I thought Sugar went home first.
Yeah, but what challenge are you talking about? Aren't you talking about the one where like Stephanie dislocates her shoulder and everything?
Yeah. Was that a reward? Gosh, dang it. So yeah, that, I'm trying to say like that kind of stuff. I can Cerise do it when she's 54. I mean, she was on a tribe that was completely undefeated or never went to whatever in Game Changers. So I'm trying to say right now, I think Cerise is a team player in tribal challenges, so much so where, yes, get me to the bench when it makes sense to me. She just had a really rough moment where it was the beginning of some people's like, come on, Jeff. Like,
yeah,
you used to make fun of people and say they should freaking die and move away where nobody could see them. And the balance beam that Cerise tries to do, and it takes basically 20 minutes of actual screen time. It was a moment where is Cerise not too old for this, but like, is Cerise out of her element too much here?
Are we also treating her with kid gloves, which is not what you want to be doing?
Like, not for Hall of Famers. Like it is kind of like, who's my favorite? What's my favorite sports team that you?
I mean, dude,
know?
If Tom, like, Brady came back and played in 10 years in like a, you know, an old people's game, I mean, you better believe nobody's gonna be like, wow, Tom, like, why don't you try to take one more? Like, no, people are going to be like head.
No, but honestly, it's like she is the Tom Brady, but it's not a charity match for 50. It is the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting people to be like, I would love to beat Ceri and knock her out. That would be a very, like, even if I don't win, if I get 17th place, but I personally knocked out Ceri in 20th, at least I can hang my hat on that. I bet there's at least five people saying that in a confessional in their pre-game.
Yeah, pre-game. other fun facts about her. She has only received 9 votes in her Survivor career. She's played 4 seasons of US Survivor and only received 9 votes. So literally an average of 2 per season. Again, this goes back to no votes in Game Changers, just 1 in Micronesia. Maybe she got votes earlier, but only 1 to Eliminator, 2 to Eliminator, obviously in Panama.
Timbertina got her once.
Yeah. Like, so when you think about that, 9 votes against in 4 seasons, clearly everybody likes Ceri. Right. But I do worry if Ceri ends up on a tribe that is going to lose early. Because remember, now we're doing 3 tribes, and in all likelihood, 2 tribes are going to tribal council every episode. I don't know if Ceri can survive that in the pre-merge. We know she's a great strategist, but are people going to let her strategize? Because the other thing that I want to talk about here is, who has she played with? Well, she played the Traitors, she played Snake in the Grass, and she played Heroes versus Villains with Stephanie. She played Game Changers with Ozzy. She played Heroes versus Villains with Colby, right? So she's well connected here for sure. Do those connections help her? I don't know. She played with Aubrey, right? In Game Changers. I always forget Aubrey was on Game Changers because I feel like she was like so minor to the story. But Ceri is really well connected coming into this season. But we also put together tribes earlier, Blake, where we said they can do this without anybody who's played together playing together. Like, she didn't actually play with Coach, so put her on a tribe with Coach. But her and Coach could bond over the fact that they were both on Heroes versus Villains. Maybe. I don't know. So do you think the connections will help her? Because out of everybody on the tribe or on the season, I do think she's the best connected. But there's also the rumor that Stephanie LaGrosse is going after her, which people have debunked. But she's beaten Stephanie every time. Is Stephanie going to say, well, great, Ceri, I'll work with you, but I need to get rid of you eventually? Like, how do you see this going for her?
Ooh, I think this is where Blake puts his foot in his mouth.
Nice.
He just said all this stuff for 20 minutes. Did he learn from what he said or not? Is Ceri past her prime? Do enough people know the legend of Ceri yet? I think all of these people on 50 know that Ceri is a threat. So I am expecting Ceri to finish in the bottom third of this season because it is only a respect thing of Ceri. Love ya. This has been great. Thank you for this. Let's go as far as we can. I have to vote you out right now. And tears. And it'll be I think this will be the final season of Ceri. I don't know. Maybe, yeah, I mean, maybe, she, come, maybe she comes back in 5 years when she's 59. But Ceri is an inspiration to, I think, everyone that maybe that's a layer of like people from the new era are like, you are the person who got me to apply. I've been watching you since I'm 14. Let's do this. I think a lot of people would have that layer too. But I think if they don't change it to 39 days, I think the first 5 boots are going to be double boots, and that just does not seem.
I think like even if they change it, they will. It'll be that, because just from a time perspective, in terms of you only have 13 or 14 weeks, right?
That seems like challenges will be more important and more cutthroat than ever. Dumbass producing. That's not what the fans want, and the hands and the fans. I think Ceri will need an advantage, a beware advantage, or an idol to get through maybe one of these double boots. And then the second or third double boot that her tribe goes to, it'll be like, Siri, we did our best. We have to vote you out because we've been getting our at, we are the disaster tribe and we're getting our ass kicked and we saved you as long as we could.
Here's what I'll say about Siri to kind of wrap this up. Fourth place Panama, third place Micronesia, 17th place Heroes Villain, sixth place Game Changers. She's kind of played in all the eras of Survivor because Panama was still with the Super Idols. So it was kind of still the old school version. I'd say Cook Islands really changed that. Micronesia was a little bit more of like the cutthroat, backstabby, advantage type game. Heroes Villains, obviously a massive legendary season. And then Game Changers, it's not new era, but 34 is a lot different than what we were seeing in the 20s. And she succeeded in all of those with the exception of Heroes Villains. And again, it's because Tom played the idol. But for me, the way Siri could go deep on this season, in my opinion, is if she's on a starting tribe with at least one of the winners, meaning either Kyle or D, or if one of the 49 people win, one of them as well. I think Mike White would be happy to have Siri. I think that Christian would probably be happy to have Siri. And I would honestly say Genevieve might be happy to have Siri. I think she needs to get with people who view themselves as big threats, right? Christian would probably be like, I could play with Siri. Because if she's with threats, then that becomes, hey, I want to work with Siri. So people will always say, I'll get rid of Siri before me. And maybe she could get into a five-person alliance to start the game. Because again, she is an easy person to get eventually, right? She's never going to win the last immunity challenge. She has one individual challenge win in her career, and it was a reward. And I don't know if she actually won that reward. I forget what it was. It was in her first season.
Wasn't it the one where it's like, who is the most annoying? It was that one, right?
Yes, it is that one. So she wins that, and that's a challenge that I honestly don't expect to show up here. So she did win one challenge, but she has also, if you're wondering, that means she's lost every other one as somebody who's made it to fourth place, third place, and sixth place. She's won one individual challenge. So yeah, maybe she could get into an alliance of five early on in the season. And that's what it would take for her. My prediction though, I give Siri one of the lowest winning chances of anybody on the season. And I think Siri's ceiling is probably about what she did in Game Changers, sixth, seventh place. That's the range I put her in. I don't see people letting her get near fire because I don't think Siri would win fire, but why let her get near it, right?
Yeah, and they're hopefully getting rid of fire because we voted against it. The other layer that I think is worth mentioning, whenever she got fifth place on Big Brother, her son was with her the whole time, and her son did not make jury. Her son got, I think, 11th place, maybe 12 or 11, maybe 10.
You're a Big Brother guy, man.
And it was a Jared Fields from, oh, is he going to be on Survivor with me on a Blood versus Water season? I know we wanted Huggy Bear, but maybe it makes more sense with Jared to do it. They basically had a Blood versus Water where they were the only Blood versus Water.
Yeah.
And despite her son lied to her. Her son tried to blow up all her plans. They weren't fitting together. Siri outlasted her son by like 6 weeks. If Siri is in a group where people can vote out someone else to try and get closer to Siri, that's maybe a different way of a shield like that Siri can do that nobody else could even plan for or hope for.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering what her plan is coming into this. I really am. I'm very curious how she's going to be planning to.
She has the knowledge of World versus USA of, I think that's her dry run.
Mm-hmm.
And what didn't work or what did work, she can either double down or erase, and she's got one more point of data than everyone else does, including us. So if she blows it in World versus USA, I would expect her to do better in this one and vice versa.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's our first episode of Everything You Need to Know. And it was about Cerie Fields. We're going to be doing this for all of the players. I don't know exactly the order that they're going to be coming out in, so I'm not even going to pretend that I can tell you which one's going to be coming out next. But stay tuned. It'll have its own, playlist over on YouTube. So you'll be able to just go through there. I won't put it in with all the Survivor 50 stuff so that people don't get lost on it. But let us know what you think about Cerie. What are her winner chances? How do you think she could actually do on this season? You think she's got any shot in hell? And that's it. That's what we got. So stay tuned for the other 21. Hope you enjoyed this. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, and we will see you next time.
Hasta luego.